Jeff has another cool announcement for us.
Sweet. All right. Thank you, Susan. Awesome. Yeah, you guys are so generous. Like, it just amazes me for the size of our fellowship when we have needs, financial needs, things that we, raising something for our missionaries, it amazes me how generous you are. So thank you for being like God and his character in that. I do have a special announcement. We have a couple of families that are joining Adventure as members. So I just want to bring them up and pray for them. So the Worths, would you guys come up? And the Mitchells, assuming the Mitchells are in here. I know the Worths are here. Are the Mitchells downstairs? Okay. I think someone was going to go grab them. Susan is grabbing them. Okay. Come on up here. Hey, buddy. How are you doing? We're going to pray for you guys and bless you. So as the Mitchells are making their way up here, they're down serving in children's right now. The reason we have membership at Adventure is not at all to segregate us from the body of Christ as a whole. We recognize that the church is every believer, every follower of Christ. What membership does for us is it's making a commitment to a particular group of believers to do the day-to-day life. It doesn't mean we won't go maybe hang out with other believers from other churches or go to some of those programs that they have, go worship together with them. But in the end, day-to-day, we live out our faith with a smaller group of believers. And that's even the model that we see in Scripture. You can't be everywhere at all times. And so these families have decided Adventure Church is where they're going to do life with God together with other believers. And so we just want to bless them and pray for them in that decision. Super excited to have you guys with us. You both families have been very involved here at Adventure, so we're glad that you're here. We thank you so much for the Worths, for Bob and Stephanie. We thank you for presented here, who have just decided to make Adventure Church their home community as a part of the body of Christ. And so I pray for a blessing over each one of them and these families that are growing up, that you would give them wisdom as parents, and that we as a community would commit to supporting them, blessing them, helping and serving them as their church body. And I pray that you would empower them by your Holy Spirit to bring their giftings, even the kids, to bring their giftings to this fellowship so that together we would represent your character, Lord. Would you do that work in them? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. We'll have you guys come up and sing a song next time. I know the kids looked like they wanted to sing a song, didn't they? Maybe a Christmas play or something we could do. Cool. So yeah, as far as becoming a member at Adventure, we have a class coming up called Starting Point, and that's not, if you go to that, you don't automatically become a member. It doesn't mean you're going to be a member, but what it does is it explains how we do life together at Adventure Church, what our values are, our beliefs, why we value membership. As I mentioned before, you know, membership is not something that's biblically mandated, but there are some things even in our culture, some benefits to having a membership. So we can explain a lot of that, maybe answer some of your questions about Adventure Church at this class. So if you're interested in going to that class, you can fill out a connection card or let me know. And what's that? Or use the app, that's right. We're going to talk more about the app and how to use that. We have a new app that is actually really helpful. I've been using it myself, and it's way better than the last one we had, if you've had experience with the last one. So so I encourage you, if you're newer to Adventure, or even if you've been coming for quite a while but haven't taken that step of membership, consider at least going to the Starting Point class that's coming up. I also just want to encourage everyone, as we head into fall, how many people were back to school this last week? Okay. Russ, you went back to school? No? Okay, well, lots of opportunities here at Adventure to get involved in ministry. One of the values that we have, and one of the things we're going to continue to press into more and more, even as we start our new series next Sunday on the Holy Spirit, is that every single person sitting in here has ministry that God wants to accomplish through them. each of them. We are not a consumer church where we just come and we watch people do ministry. That's not the design of the body of Christ. And so as we drive more and more into that culture, I want to encourage each one of you that you have a place of ministry that God wants to use in you. Some of you may be going, no, you don't know me. There's nothing I can offer. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've received him and you have the Holy Spirit, then there's so much that God can do and will do through you if you'll step out in faith. And so in all of our ministries, even on Sunday morning, there's opportunities. Every ministry that's going on. In the weekdays, men's and women's, youth ministries, there's opportunities. And there's probably, with the new faces in this room, some new ministries that could start. There's ministering one to another. It doesn't have to have a title of an actual ministry. It could be on Sunday morning, how can we interact more and be praying for each other and letting God use us to minister to each other. So that's the kind of stuff that we're headed into. But if you're interested in any way in stepping into a ministry, fill out a connection card and let us know. And we'd love to just talk about what a next step might look like for that. But this morning, before starting our Holy Spirit series next week, we are launching a program to read through the Bible. And we're calling it Logos, which means in Greek, the Word. It's the Greek word that was used in John chapter 1 to describe Jesus as the Word of God. The expression, the divine expression of who God is, Logos. And so we know who God is through his Word and by his Holy Spirit. And so we're going to make an effort to dig into the Word of God and read the whole Bible in 4 months. So how many people have ever done like a read through the Bible in a year type thing? Okay. How many people have ever done that and not been successful? Okay. Same amount of hands. Not that you haven't done it before. Like I've read through the whole Bible before, but I've definitely had many times where I started a read through the Bible program and didn't finish it. I got, you know, several books in and just got disillusioned with staying on that track, or I got distracted, or I just started studying somewhere else and then I couldn't remember what I'd read. And so we're all on the same boat there. We understand. Now, doing the Bible in 4 months, reading the whole Bible in 4 months, means you're reading about 10 chapters a day. Okay? So it is going to be a challenge to stay on track with that. And that's why I want to talk about it for the message this morning. One, the importance of it. Two, what are some ways that we can be successful as a community reading through the Bible? First of all, why are we doing it? Just because it seems like a really good Christian thing to do, we'll feel more religious and we'll feel like we can check off a box. No. We get to know God through his word. We know his history. We learn his heart towards us through his word. We know what his voice sounds like. So when we're listening to the Lord for the details of our lives and decisions that we have day to day, we know what it should sound like. And when we talk a lot here at Adventure about listening to the Lord and getting direction from the Holy Spirit, and we say, but it needs to align with the word of God. Well, that sounds great, but if you don't know the Word of God, there's no way for you to measure whether it does line up with the Word of God. His commands. A lot of times we say, I don't know what the will of God is in my life. A lot of times those decisions are clearly laid out in Scripture of what His will is. I mean, you know, between A or B choosing, well, if you knew the Word of God and you're familiar with it, you'd know that plan A that you're thinking about is completely against the will of God. So that makes it really easy to see, oh, and but according to his word, plan B lines up with it. Okay? There's other times where plan A and plan B both could be a part of his will, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in that decision for what's best and what he has for our lives. So there's that importance of listening to the Spirit and knowing his word. So for you, you know, there's people in this room who probably read the Bible once a week. I don't know, read the whole Bible once a week. And there's other people who probably haven't read a whole book of the Bible in several years. So it's okay. We're starting at a point together, all of us. And one of the reasons that we're doing it in 4 months is I want to use this picture of the tree to kind of describe the fact that we want to look at God's story and who he is as a tree, okay? Now, there's lots of little leaves on this tree, and reading the Bible in 4 months is not examining every little leaf on the tree, okay? We want to see his story in 4 months. You'll remember the beginning from the end versus being on like a five-year reading program where you might really have to think back to when you read Genesis. There's benefits to both. There's benefits to investigating the bark on the tree and the leaves and every detail. And that's really important too. But for this season, what we want to do is see God's story as a whole. So one of the things I want to do to start us off, as we're actually going to kick off that reading this morning, and you're going to be able to check off a chapter. Actually, you could check off Psalm 98. Because we read that, right? So you already head start there. There's one chapter down. We're going to cover another chapter later in the service here. So you only have like 8 chapters to read before the Seahawks game, right? Or during the Seahawks game, if I want to be real mean. Now, what I want to show you right now is a video from an organization called The Bible Project. And what the Bible Project's goal to do is to really break down in simple terms and speak to those who maybe are more visual learners, some of the truths of the Bible, a lot of the historical facts of the Bible. It's an organization, okay? So there's subjective things that they might have about how they view or interpret Scripture. So with any resource that you use, I'd always recommend that you compare it to other resources, that you compare it to what you see the Word of God saying for yourself, as you seek the Word with the help of the Holy Spirit, as you connect with other believers in your life. But having said that, I don't want you to take everything the Bible Project does and just say, oh, it's true because I heard about it at church. But like this video here is basically an overview of both the Old and New Testament. So in 8 minutes, you're going to get a bit of a foundation of the context. Again, this is the tree versus the leaves. And you're going to see kind of how the Bible is put together as a whole. It's a great way to start as you head into this reading. So let's watch that, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this program.
The New Testament. If you open up a Bible to its table of contents, you'll see it's made up of two large collections, the Old and New Testaments. The word testament refers to a covenant partnership, which is what both of these collections are all about. They tell one epic and complicated story of God's covenant partnership with Israel and all humanity. The Old Testament is called Tanakh in Jewish tradition. It's a unified scroll collection of 39 Israelite texts that were over 1,000 years in the making. In contrast, the 27 books of the New Testament all came into existence within 30 to 40 years of each other. They were all written by first-generation followers of Jesus. From an early period, Christian communities began collecting these texts and reading them alongside the Old Testament as one unified story that leads to Jesus. The New Testament begins with 4 narrative books that together are called the Gospel. They tell the story of Jesus of Nazareth's life, death, and resurrection as an announcement of good news. They're followed by a 5th narrative work called Acts of the Apostles. Here, the risen Jesus commissions the apostles, a word that means the sent ones. They're appointed as Jesus' representatives to spread the good news about him throughout the ancient world. After Acts comes a collection of letters from the apostles. These were written to provide teaching and guidance for local communities of Jesus' followers called churches. There are 13 letters connected to the Apostle Paul, and they're not arranged in the order of when they were written, but rather from the longest to the shortest. Then there's the letter to the Hebrews, written by a close but unnamed associate of the apostles. After this are the letters of James, Jude, Peter, and John. 2 were brothers of Jesus, and 2 were among his first followers. The last New Testament book is the Revelation, a letter to 7 churches that reveals a prophetic word of challenge and comfort to all of Jesus' followers. So those are the books of the New Testament, but what are they about? And how do they connect with the Old Testament to make up one unified story? Think of it this way. The Bible is one long epic narrative with multiple movements or acts. The Old Testament recounts the first series of acts that give you everything you need to make sense of the story to follow. The core themes and the plot conflict are arranged in design patterns. And then in the New Testament, these are all picked up and carried forward to the story's culmination in Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. The first act is about God and all humanity. God provides a sweet garden temple for humans who are made to be God's partners in ruling the world. But the humans are foolish, and they give in to a dark temptation and rebel against God's wisdom. So they're exiled into a wilderness where they start killing each other. They build cities that spread their selfishness and oppression, leading up to the big bad city of Babylon. But God loves the world and its foolish humans, so he sets in motion a rescue plan by promising the arrival of a new human who will destroy the evil that has lured us into self-destruction. The next act of the biblical story is about God and Israel, and it develops the themes and patterns of the first act. God calls a new humanity out of Babylon into a sweet garden land, Abraham, Sarah, and his descendants, the Israelites. God promises that through them, divine blessing will be restored to all of the nations. Surely these are the new humans that we're waiting for, but the Israelites repeat humanity's rebellion against God, building their own violent cities that lead to self-destruction and another exile in Babylon. But God sustains his promise that the new human will come from Abraham's lineage. It will be a priest king who will now have to rescue both Israel and humanity from Babylon to restore God's blessing to the world. Now, notice how these two acts are designed according to the same pattern. The second act is a longer and more violent version of the first, and together they explore the tragic human condition, but they also highlight God's promise, which is developed more in the next act, the Old Testament prophets and poets. The prophets accused Israel and all nations of their evil, and they announced that one day God himself would arrive to bring the day of the Lord and deliver his world from Babylon. He would do it through a promised royal priest, who's going to suffer like a slave and die for the sins of Israel and all humanity, but then he'll be exalted as king over the nations. He will call others to leave Babylon and join the new covenant people, who will partner with God to rule over a new Jerusalem, that is, over a new creation. And so the Old Testament concludes by anticipating a new act in the story. And when you turn to the New Testament, it's the same story, now being carried forward in Jesus. Let's see how. The four gospel accounts introduce Jesus of Nazareth, both as the promised son of Abraham who will restore God's blessing to the nations, and also as that new human who will defeat evil and restore humanity to partnership with God. So Jesus is portrayed as a human and more. He went about announcing the arrival of God's promised kingdom, and he spoke and acted as if he was Israel's divine king. But instead of calling himself king, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, that is, the human one who would act like a servant. The Gospels are making the claim that in Jesus, Israel's God has become the faithful Israelite and the true human that we are all made to be but have failed to be. Jesus' mission was to confront that dark evil that lurks underneath humanity's evil, luring us into selfishness, violence, and death. But how do you defeat that kind of evil? The surprising answer in the Gospels is that Jesus overcame our evil by allowing it to kill him on his paradoxical throne, the cross, where Jesus died for humanity's evil and sin. And it's where he lived out what he taught, that nonviolence, forgiveness, and self-giving love are the most powerful things in the universe. And because God's love for his world is stronger than evil or death, Jesus was raised to new life as the prototype of a new humanity, and this brings us to the story of Acts. Through the Spirit, God empowers Jesus' followers to spread the life and love of Jesus out into the world as they invite people to leave their old humanity and join Jesus' multi-ethnic family, the new humanity. This is where the letters from the apostles fit into the story. Here the apostles address early Christian communities, and they show how the good news about the risen King Jesus changed history and should reshape every part of our lives. They also explained the good news by constantly appealing to stories from the Old Testament and the stories of Jesus, showing us how to see our own life stories as part of the epic biblical story. So all humanity is trapped in a Babylonian exile, but Jesus came to create a new home. We're all living in different kinds of Egyptian slavery to selfishness and sin, but Jesus died as the Passover lamb to liberate us into the promised land. Our old humanity is bound for the dust of death, but Jesus' resurrection opened up a new future for a new humanity. We live here in the current evil age, but through Jesus and the Spirit, a new creation has burst open here and now. And this leads us to the book of Revelation, where the whole biblical story comes together in powerful symbolism and imagery. Jesus is portrayed as a slaughtered, bloody lamb, who is exalted as the divine king of the world. He's leading his people out of slavery and exile in Babylon. And as they resist Babylon's influence, they may have to suffer alongside their slain leader. But when you follow the risen king, not even death can prevent the dawn of the new creation, which is here depicted as a new Jerusalem garden temple, the true home of humanity after its long exile. And so on the Bible's last page, heaven and earth are reunited, and the new humans take up their appointed task from the Bible's first page, to rule the world together in the love and power of God. The New Testament is a remarkable collection of documents. They represent the testimony of the apostles that points us to the risen Jesus himself. And through God's Spirit, these human words have been speaking a divine word of hope from the first century to the 21st. Each book shows how God, through Jesus and the Spirit, is leading our world to its ultimate goal in a renewed creation. And so the story's end is really the beginning of a new story that is yet to be told. And that's what the New Testament is all about.
There you go. The Bible in 8 minutes. You thought 4 months was fast. So that's just to kind of set some framework. Like I said, I think that's one of the strengths that the Bible Project's ministry has, is being able to set within a short amount of time some framework for when you approach the Bible. It can just seem like a bunch of random stories sometimes, but there's actually one story that God's telling through the Bible, through the Word. So one of the other things I want to really talk about this morning is, as we launch this read-through, understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our reading. What role does God play in us reading Scripture? Because there's something that happens if you have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you are here this morning and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, recognize that he went to the cross to pay for your sins, and that having received him, having recognized that you are a sinner, and yet he makes you holy and righteous, and then his Holy Spirit is given to you. If all that is gibberish to you, please come talk to me after the service, just to understand that more. But what I want to say is, if you have made that decision, then you now have the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in his resurrection living in you, and he's given to you to help you understand. Whoa, how did I get so far ahead here? Was I pushing that? He has been given to you to understand the Word of God. And so as we read through Scripture, as you're reading through, you're burning through 10 chapters a day. I'm a slow reader. That's going to take me over an hour probably to read 10 chapters. Some of you could read 10 chapters in like 15 minutes or maybe less. I don't know. So this is really going to be a challenge for me. If I can do this, you can do this. But we're not just reading to check off and say that we read the whole Bible. There's life in the Word of God that comes to life as we read with the Holy Spirit and submitted to him. Listen to what Paul said about the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's really cool. We're going to be doing this read-through simultaneously with our study on the Holy Spirit and his role in our lives. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about the Holy Spirit and said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, like the Word of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So you can read the Bible all you want in your own human strength, and it's just information. If the Holy Spirit is not bringing it to life and helping you to understand it at a deeper level, you can know all about God by reading it, and there are people, there are atheists, people who don't even believe in God, who read all about and in knowledge they understand what God is about and what he says about himself, but there's no life in them through it. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So the Spirit helps us understand. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So we have the Holy Spirit with us. And so, as we read the Word of God in these 4 months, we come to him. And we recognize the Holy Spirit. That's part of the reason we're doing the series on the Holy Spirit is of the Trinity, of the three persons of the one Godhead, he's probably the most forgotten. And yet he's the closest to us. Do you think the enemy has anything to do with that? He's living in us. And so when we come to the Word of God, hopefully through these 4 months, we're going to learn the discipline of approaching the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, submitting to him, asking him to give us understanding. YouTube and Bible scholars and Bible Project and Jeff and others in your life can be helpful to understanding the Word of God, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is the foremost one who's going to give you understanding of what the Word of God means. And that's available to each of you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, there's checks and balances, right? As you read the Word of God, I feel like the Holy Spirit's giving me understanding of this verse, so I'm going to go out and do this crazy thing. That's why we have the body of Christ. That's why we can weigh those things and bring them to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, am I understanding this right? What do you see the Holy Spirit revealing about this verse? And so there's an interaction there. But you have available to you the Spirit of God who knows the mind of God to help you understand the Word of God. So I want to talk a little bit about how to not have another experience that you've had in the past where all of you raised your hands along with me and said, I've started Bible reading programs before and it just, you know, New Year's resolution to read through the Word of God and by February you're on to something else. It's going to require to go through the Bible in 4 months, and that's part of the reason why we're choosing this rate. At some point, you are going to have to say no to something that you're doing right now in your life to make room for it. And that's intentional. It's intentional for me. It's intentional for all of us who decide to do this. You're going to try to keep everything the same and just add this in, and you're going to be able to do that for about a week. And then you're going to get frustrated because you have to say no to something that you really like spending an hour a day watching stupid videos of cats on YouTube or whatever it is that feels more life-giving to you than the Word of God. And so the challenge for me that I'm asking myself and I'd ask you to consider for yourself is, do you actually believe that the Word of God, when read with being enlightened by the Holy Spirit, can bring life to you, wisdom, can give you direction for your life? Do you believe that? Do I believe that? And if we do believe that, are we living like we actually believe that? Which means if we have to wrestle with not spending so much time on Facebook or whatever it is that we're burning our time up with that we actually have time for. You know, one movie, you could get probably 2 days worth of reading done in the rate that we're going if you just didn't watch one movie. 2 or 3 hours there. So it's going to challenge that. I think it's great. It's going to challenge that for me. Like, do I really believe that there's life in the Word of God? More life than doing whatever other silly thing I'm spending my time doing. You know, when I go out on a hunting trip, my Bible goes with me. And I'm going to read it because I can't take a 3 or 4 day break and come back and have like 40 chapters to catch up on. So maybe I get one of those little pocket Bibles and put it in my backpack and I'm out in the woods sitting there waiting forever. And I read, you know, changing it up. I want to talk about some resources. There's these paper, old school checkoff sheets. I'll have one with me. This little sheet that Susan designed has a box for every chapter of the Bible, okay? Every book. So if you have that in your Bible and you're going to be doing actual, you know, like you're reading the scripture and you're using your Bible, you get the satisfaction of filling in those bubbles, right? But it also helps you keep track because maybe you're not going to go Genesis to Revelation in order. Maybe you're going to skip back and forth, or maybe you're going to be reading Psalms and some of Genesis, or you're going to go one book Old, one book New Testament. There's no prescribed way that I'm going to say it only counts if you do it this way. But this checkoff sheet is going to be handy for that. There's a lot of apps that you guys can probably find way better apps. I just looked really quickly to find some examples. Like this little free app that you can download on your phone is basically this sheet digitally, so you can have that with you. I'll probably use both and keep them updated with each other because there's times where I'll be listening, maybe, to the Word and cover some chapters there, and I'll just be able to pull out my phone and fill out those chapters. Another app that's helpful but way super in-depth is Read Scripture. So this is the app. They utilize the Bible Project videos. The reason that can be helpful is if you really want to go more in-depth with this read-through, you'll have a hard time following their program completely and doing it in 4 months. I think it's like a year or something if you just did the regular prescribed reading that they have. But the cool thing that they have on this app, if you load it, I load it on my phone, is you can scroll through and go to the beginning of whatever book you're reading, and it gives a lot of historical information in a video form like you just watched. So they'll do that for whatever it is, Isaiah. And it just helps you understand the context of where chronologically did this book happen? What's the atmosphere in the world at that time? What's going on in the history of Israel? And so it sets a nice context, and they're usually like 5 minutes. So that's helpful. Or a lot of you have a lot of that information at the beginning of your Bible you can read if you have a study Bible. So that's a resource that you could do, and that's free. The audio Bible counts, okay? It counts because I'm a slow reader, okay? And I have to use it. But, you know, way back when, everybody didn't have a Bible. So it's like, did that count back then? Because they had to gather together, and one person who had the scripture, which is happening in persecuted nations right now, would read from the word, and people would listen. The audio Bible counts. So some of you who have 2-hour commutes, if you count both ways, you know, you can cover a lot of scripture in that. One person was saying, yeah, I do that, but then sometimes I check out because I'm worried about the guy merging in front of me, and so I might miss a little bit of the content of that. And what I would say to that is, again, we're looking at the tree, okay? This is not a legalistic approach to read, oh, but I missed that one verse. I got to figure out how to go back, and I'm going to get in a wreck if I do that. We're trying to take in God's story as a whole. Give yourself some grace. We're doing it in 4 months. However, on the other end of that spectrum, you can't be playing the audio Bible while you're watching a movie or something like that, or doing something that's completely consuming your mind otherwise, because the point is to be taking in the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. So audio counts. I'll probably do both, a mix of both, depending on if I have a commute or I'm driving somewhere. And then also I'll be reading some too. Another resource that we have that I asked Susan to come up and help explain more, because she's done more digging into it, is how we can do this together as a community and stay connected with it week by week.
Thanks. So I have mentioned several times the new app that we have. It's called Church Center, and then there is a specific application of it for Adventure. So that's what it looks like on your app store.
So you just entered Church Center, right?
In your app store. There is, I was going to bring it up, on the back page of your bulletin, there is a QR code that you could actually scan, or there's information there for you to be able to find this. So once you download that app and you enter Adventure Community Church, at the bottom you will have, there are four icons. One is home, one is give, and that's how some of you have started using the app to give. And then the next one is groups. It just went out. And then the final one is events. Events is what we're using. People have registered for the
archery
event there, for the men's event. So that events one we have started using.
It's super easy to use.
Yes. But the groups is fairly new. So you'll find that icon on the bottom. It'll say groups. Does anybody see it already? Cool. Oh, it's loading. Yeah, very good. So when you click on groups, you'll see it says other groups. And the first time, you'll want to click on other groups, and it will show you the Logos group, and it has the icon that...
on the front of your bulletin.
Yeah, the front of your bulletin, that image. You'll see that, and you can ask to join. What is nice about this is it is an easy way for you, one, to find all of the resources he just listed. So we will be putting... there are resources in there now, and we will add resources. If you find something that's been really helpful to you, let us know, and we can add it to the group, and you can share that with others. If you're getting discouraged, you can see who else is in the group. And, you know, if you've ever been on a diet, sometimes it's nice to know somebody that's with you that's going through the pain, and you can reach out and say, you know, Yolanda, I am like 10 chapters behind. What are you doing, you know? And she can help me figure out how to do it. Or you can reach out to Jeff, the leader's name and email is on there. So it's just a way for us to create community through our phone.
Or something cool you came across in your reading, you can share that with the group.
Exactly. And there is also, I have put on the calendar, there is, have you talked about the final thing yet? The celebration?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. So on there, you will find the date that we are going to be celebrating our 4 months completion and recognizing all of us that have completed reading the entire Bible. You will find that. But then I also put in dates like, by this point, you should have read approximately 90 chapters, or, you know, you should be halfway through, trying to give you some idea of if, for some reason, you missed a day or things didn't work out, you kind of have a sense of where you should be along the way, hoping, again, that together we can kind of stay on track. Because I have definitely done these challenges, and I didn't even make it to February, I don't think. But so
not this time.
Yeah, but not this time. I'm sticking to it.
Cool.
So
thank you, Susan.
Else?
Appreciate that. Yeah, and we say about 10 chapters a day, but there's some cool apps that I was looking at. So you type in when you want to be done, and it knows the length of each chapter, and it calculates it out. So some days you're reading like 12 chapters because they're short, and some days you're reading 8. And so if you want to spend about the same amount of time each day, find one of those. Or if you just want to do it the simple way, read as many chapters as you can a day. And if you're hitting short chapters, don't go, oh, that only took me 5 minutes, and I'm done. Read ahead and cover yourself for the next day. Lastly, I want to talk a little bit about how to, so that's kind of how we can do this together as a whole, joining that group and staying connected, and we're going to talk about this each week. We're actually going to, you can count, if you come to church every week for the next 4 months, you can count the book of John, because we're going to read the whole book of John over the course of these next 4 months by reading a chapter a Sunday in service together. So that's going to be something that we're doing to be in the Word together. So that's covered. Psalm 98 is covered. You might want to read it again anyways because it's cool. Genesis chapter 1 will be covered in just a minute because we're going to launch this by reading Genesis chapter 1. What I want to say about staying in community in this, though, too, is some suggestions for families or couples. As a couple, I would suggest picking a book or two and kind of figure out the timing and what you think you can finish to reserve for reading together. And in doing that, you know that whatever track you're both on as a couple, you might be in different places, but you know that this book is reserved. A lot of the narrative books are great for that. It would be great as a couple to read Song of Solomon, wouldn't it? Read that book together. But for families, also you could do that as well with your kids and just say, hey, we're going to read the book of Acts is an exciting book with it's a narrative. You know, 1st and 2nd Kings, man, there's some crazy stories in there to read. Amazing stories. Just some of those types of books, maybe just say, hey, as a family, we're going to go through this book together, reading a little bit, you know, through the week, maybe at dinner time or whatever. So those are just some ideas of how to do that. Couples, I can guarantee you it will be an amazing boost to your relationship if instead of both of you sitting side by side staring at a screen, you turn that off and you read the Word of God together regularly, consistently through the week. It will, just doing that, just taking that step, you might even fall into praying together at some point. And the life it's going to bring to you, I know, I'm pushing it, you know. That should be stage two. I shouldn't even be talking. No, I'm just kidding. I know you guys pray together, but it's amazing. So I would encourage you to do that. I want to invite Russ to come up. Russ Madera has volunteered, well, I asked him to, and he said yes, to read chapter 1 of Genesis. And so he's going to read that, but I'd like to just start. So this is the kickoff. So isn't it cool you get to check off that box? Oh, there's also a paper sign-up sheet in the back. If you don't want to go through all the app stuff and electronics, just go to the clipboard in the back after church and put your name on there, and we'll add you to the group. But I just want to pray for us and invite the Holy Spirit into even this time, but also this 4 months for us. So, Lord, first, I just want to thank you for how available your word is to us in this country. God, we just want to remember right now those who are begging for the availability of the word of God. Those Christians who are in prison right now with just one ripped out page or scratchings of all the verses they've memorized on the wall. And we want to recognize just how blessed we are to have your word, many copies in this room right now. And so, Lord, we value your word, and we recognize that to truly understand the mind of God, we need the Spirit of God. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us, in these 4 months, supernatural understanding of your word, so that it's not just head knowledge, but that it changes our lives, and it changes how we live, it changes our character, to be more like you, that we would just be in awe and amazed at how much you love us and how the Bible reveals that. Would you do that work in each of us, Lord? And I pray for those who feel like this is really going to be a challenge or even questioning whether they should jump in. We just shut down the enemy who's always trying to keep us out of your word, Lord. And I just bind him in Jesus' name. And we choose to approach your word, because we believe that it brings life, and so our actions are going to show that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Here ends the reading.